Faith traditions are traditions of story. We have to be. Stories are where we have to find ourselves because as people of faith, we find ourselves thinking about the unfathomable and talking about the indescribable. Stories are where we have to be. Definitions aren't deep enough. Lists certainly aren't engaging. And everything requires context. So faith traditions across the globe and spanning recorded history tell stories. Some of those stories are literary tools, allegories, metaphors, intentionally crafted tales that convey a deeper message through their story. Some of these stories are historical accounts reporting, from one perspective, the happenings of a time. Some of these stories are narratives, some of them biographies. All of these stories worthy of being told, all of them worthy of being explored by the listener. And the telling of our stories, the engaging of our scriptures, is essential for our growth in faith. In fact, I can use a story to share this point with you. Hear these words of Joshua that were shared by our children reading. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right from where the priests are standing, and carry them with you, and put them down where you stay." In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them. Having just wandered through the desert, as God's people have left Egypt and their former identities as slaves, God doesn't want them to leave everything behind. God wants them to bring their stories with them. So much so, God wants them to bring the stories so much that God asks them to basically build a mnemonic device. How can we have you remember this? Well, we could do one of those poem thingies or that thing where you count the months on your hand. No. Something more dramatic. Big pile of rocks. That's it. I want you to use a big pile of rocks so that you remember. It's even better than a string around the finger. God asks them to remember. God asks them to set up a scenario where people will say, so what's the story with this? We all have those moments in life where there's something that someone looks at and says, okay, there has to be a story with this. And God is setting this up for the people because there is a story. When our series on the Bible and children-led worship coincided, I was thrilled. Because one of my very favorite biblical scholars wrote one of my very favorite books on this exact topic. How the Bible is a model for teaching. Not just that we should teach the Bible, but the way the Bible is built and put together offers us a model of what it is to learn and educate as a community of faith. You see, our children, mind you, when I use the phrase our children, I use it to include every single child in this building. I want us to remember that we have stood and made a commitment to each and every one of them. Through their baptism and our own, that we will surround them with God's love, that we will surround them with love and form them in faith and confirm and strengthen them in a way that leads to life eternal. Before I had kids of my own, I'd talk about our children, and people automatically knew I meant the congregation. Now that I have mine, they're like, oh, you're talking about Grace and Joey? No. All of our children. Our children offer us a reminder of the ever-growing relationship we are invited to have with the Bible. A growing relationship that does not exclude us now because we're adults. I tell you, when it comes to children in our midst, for every single thing they are learning, we learn with them. For every question they ask, we have to ask ourselves. And every moment of growth in their spiritual journey blesses us all. See, the stones aren't just about the person asking the question. The pile of stones we hear in the story of Joshua bless every single person. Because sometimes, as we reach the end of our lives, we might see ourselves as the people who piled the stones so people would remember something that has been. Sometimes we are or have been the person that asks what they mean. Sometimes we're the person who gets to tell the story about them. And sometimes We're the person standing within earshot who really wants to know how someone else is going to answer the question when it's asked. But this is our relationship to the story, the opportunity to invite the story to be heard, to tell the story, and to use it to tie us together. This is an important moment for me to have a brief aside as I invite you to consider the invitation to be a part of Sunday school. We invite everyone to consider taking one Sunday a month to spend time with our kids. Here's the nice thing. Brandon does all the heavy lifting. The curriculum is written. It's ready. It's highlighted. Your name is on it. It says, at this time, do this. And you do a couple things. The big thing you're doing is being a loving presence in the room with the children in our midst who are growing and learning. There are songs and movies they get to watch. There's activities to do. It's the best. And every once in a while, I will hear someone say, oh, but I come to church to go to worship. I actually hear that phrase a lot. Let me tell you, there is nothing more worshipful than watching our children ask amazing questions and learn the things you heard them just say in their prayers. Take that little prayer sheet home with you. I guarantee you it will mean more to you than any sermon I've ever preached when the right time comes. I invite you to be a part of this process. Talk to Brandon and spend a Sunday surrounded by the joy and beauty that is our children learning and growing together. This is our relationship together. Like I said, one of my favorite biblical scholars talks about the Bible as a way for us to learn. Walter Brueggemann, wonderful Hebrew Bible, Old Testament scholar. And in his book, The Creative Word, he suggests that the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, is an ideal model for the development and growth of faithful people. Over the last few weeks, and if you missed one of them, the sermons are online. I'm a little biased, but I think they're pretty good. You should listen to them. But over the last few weeks, we've explored these three major sections of the Old Testament. The Hebrew Bible made up of Torah and prophets and writings. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, being the foundation, the stories that anchor God's people, offering an identity built around God's faithfulness. The stories of the Torah are concrete, anchored in place and time, while also being open-ended. So it might encourage our imagination. They're filled with lived experience of those who have come before, and they stand firmly on their own. The stories don't need an explanation to try to unpack them. We get to experience them. The stories in the Torah, the stories of the Hebrew Jewish tradition, they are learned and they are held and they are honored. They are honored not for being perfect, but for being the stories from which identity is found. And following this foundational work come the prophets. The scriptures that stand right on top of those stories of old to ask, yes, this is where we have been. Look around now. Is there a word from the Lord that is arriving in this moment for us? Is there a word from the Lord, the scriptures ask? The Bible. The very Bible we sit and open models for us the necessity of questioning life and faith, an invitation to draw new pictures, create new metaphors, and take bold strokes of encouraging and engaging the current realities around us. The Bible wants us to get into things. Our Bible offers us a model in which we learn the stories of old for a sense of place and belonging, but then are encouraged to ask questions that connect that history to our own lived experience. I love this. The movement of these first two sections of our Old Testament are then woven together in the writings, books that focus on the gift of wisdom. I'll let Dr. Brueggemann's words describe this. Wisdom in Israel needs to be understood as a serious way in which responsible, reasonable knowledge of the world and passionate trust in God are held together. This is a believing reason, or we may say faith that's seeking understanding. This is our scripture, inviting us to know the story, then to question how it applies in life, and then to sit, I love this, holding in a serious way a passionate trust in God and a reasonable knowledge of the world. We hold these things together and invite our young people, even ourselves, to do this as a community. First, we learn the stories. Then we question what they mean and what God could possibly be saying to us today in them. And then we apply them with wisdom from our lived experience. This is a faithful and spirit-filled biblical education model. It's what we strive for in this place. With our children, in front of our children. We do this with and for the children in our midst. Our learning of the scriptures, when I invite you to get a Bible and look into it and be a part of a Bible study, these kinds of things, our learning of the scriptures isn't done to enforce some theological or dogmatic restriction on anyone. We invite the stories because they are a shared source of identity from which our good questions can be asked. And I tell you, questions aren't some form of blasphemy or irreverence, but instead are a biblically intended kind of growth. The Bible asks us to ask these questions, to dig in and wonder and look at the world around us and say, what's going on? Because it leads us to listen for God's voice today, just as our aunt and crab offered the invitation. I invite your continued exploration of our scriptures, your continued questions, your best efforts that we might maintain our striving to live what we find in these scriptures. To live it not only as a model for our children, but to partner with them in a faithful and spirit-filled journey toward the sacred. Amen.